recall where we got it. It was a Jim Deluxe.
Okay.
And so when we were by Nestle's, then Nestle said, I've got a brown here that I think would be easier playing than the Jim Deluxe.
Okay.
So then I said, well, okay. Then he said, try it out. If you like it, then you can buy it. So she tried it out, and she liked it, so I bought it for her. So then down the road, as we were going, and I don't know, we went to Browns for some reason. I don't know if we were going to get rid of the gym, because then we had two C's. We had the gym, and we had the, because he didn't want to trade that in. So I said, okay, fine. So then by Brown, and Brown said, well, I think I wanted to, what he'd give us for it. He said, well, you know what, why don't you, I'll make you one.
Oh.
He said, you know, in short time, because he said, I'm not going to be making concertinas for too long.
Uh-huh.
So I said, well, okay. So then we traded that gym in for that new one that came, I think, probably a year later or so we got it. So then we had the two concertinas, and then we just kept playing, and we started out. I think, when was it? I think, how old was she? About 12 years. Benita was about 12 years old or so.
Yeah.
12 years old.
Okay.
She started out playing. And so then she, you know how kids are. They're going to school and they're busy. And then they kind of slow down. So she slowed down for a while. And then she took off and she kept with it. And
okay.
So then the rest was history. You know, we just played, you know. All over. Well, we didn't go that. We kind of limit our radius because, you know, we milk cows, you know.
Yeah, so. You were on the farm.
Yeah. Yep. So then we had to milk the cows and stuff and then go. So we went probably like within a 75-mile radius. So, yeah. So.
No, did you play an instrument, Martin?
No.
You did not?
No.
You were the general manager.
I was kind of the general manager, yeah.
Driver, taxi service, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, something breaks down, well.
That was you.
That was me.
Did you do the booking, too? Did you line up the jobs, or how did you get your jobs?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I think the kids did, too, probably. Yep. Yeah.
No, we didn't. We should have given credit to the most important one, and that's the wife, right? Well, who's your wife?
Yeah, Christine.
Christine, very good. Yeah, and it usually takes mom and dad to keep this whole show running, you know, from what I've learned over the years. So
a lot of times, see, like by our house, too, you know, when I was at home, well, then we had, like, Stanley Brenny. He would bring his concertina over for a visit, and he would play us a few tunes, you know.
Sure.
You know, like years back, they kind of had, you know, just people going around having house parties and stuff. Somebody had a concertina.
Life was more laid back
in those
years.
And my wife's uncle, he had a concertina. He played too, but I don't think he had a band.
Okay.
So,
sure.
Yeah.
So how many kids?
I got seven.
Seven. And were they all part of the Honeybees band then?
Well, no, just Benita, Brenda, and my wife, and Charles.
Oh, okay. Christine was part of the band. What did your wife play?
Well, she sang, and she played bass guitar, and she played drums.
Okay.
So whenever she played clarinet or something, then she would play drums, you know.
I see. They'd switch around. Okay.
Yeah. And then later on, the boys started playing tuba, so then wherever we went, you know, if they wanted four-piece, then we'd go to four-piece band.
Four-piece, you bet. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So... This was quite the project. How long? Well, first of all, when did you form the band? Do you remember what year it was when you guys really got started?
I was trying to recall back to that, and I realized our first job was back in 1978.
Oh, wow.
It was at the Sobieski Park.
Uh-huh.
And we were playing for a fundraiser, and it was for the Morrison County Sheriff fundraiser they had going on at the time. And
okay.
Somehow Dad must have had some connection with that sheriff for their campaign, so
so that was the first job,
and that went pretty well, I'll bet, huh?
Oh yeah, yes.
Okay.
I was 12. I was 12 years old, and my sister Benita was 14 at the time. So that was.
And Benita is the oldest one then.
Yeah,
she's the oldest one in the family. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you said Charles is a tuba player, and he's the youngest one.
He's middle.
Middle of the pack. Okay.
Yeah, middle, yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
So when you were going, you were usually a four-piece band then, huh?
Not all the time, because some places they only wanted three-piece. Like we'd go into bars or something.
Yep.
A lot of times they didn't have the room and stuff, you know.
So that must have been interesting in those days, because you guys were probably minors, huh? Going into the bars, some of them fussy about that stuff. How did that work out for you guys?
Oh, we didn't have problems.
No problems,
so you
huh?
No. Call any problems? No.
No, no, no.
Of course,
that's
Mom
good.
And Dad were always there, right?
Right,
yeah.
And
too,
that helps.
So.
Yep. If the parents are there, then you can get by with a lot more.
Right.
Yeah. So good. Well, what'd you do for music? Did you have it written, or did you guys just play by ear? How did how'd you get your songs together and stuff with all the players?
We did buy music, the notes and
okay.
the pages.
Yeah, I think Benita did quite a bit.
Learned the songs off of notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Brenda, well, she'd have to write up her music for her clarinet her instruments if she wanted whatever she wanted to play, because it's...
To match the keys, right?
Okay.
Because it's different concertina. You have to have most of it is written in B flat, and had a C, and then we had an E, and well, if she wanted to go E, then she had to write out an E. So
that concertina you got from Browns, was that an E flat then?
That was an E flat,
E flat, and that's what a lot of the bands like to carry, the C and the E flat. E flat is a lot easier for the horns to play because you're in flats. You play with the C, then you get a lot of sharps. So, and you noticed that too, I'll bet, huh, Brenda?
Right, it was really pretty with the hula rise.
Oh,
the clarinet,
yeah, it
the
is. You bet. So, what year did you say that was that you did your first job?
1978.
1978. So. And then it took off right from there then?
Right, yes.
Okay. And how long till you finally said that's a career?
So, the 80s were pretty booming for us.
Were booming, okay.
Yeah, I think it was like in early 90s then we kind of, because then Benita kind of quit, then she had one baby, then she had another one, and then she kind of wanted to.
And that's usually what happens with a lot of bands. When the families start in, then it's hard. Either they got to get a sitter. And back then, we weren't getting paid that much to play. So it's kind of a trade-off. If you're playing, you give it all to the babysitter, because that's just the way it is. So
yeah, you have to enjoy it, go out there and do it,
right.
Yeah, so no, that was a nice road that we had, yeah.
Some fun times, I'm sure. Brenda, did you go to any of the ballrooms, like Little Falls or any of those, Granite City Coliseum, any of those over the years that you played at, or was it mostly clubs and bars? And
I do remember some ballrooms.
You do, okay.
The Falls Ballroom.
Yep.
It was a little more local. We did a lot more of the local ballrooms.
Pelican Lake, maybe.
Pelican Lake.
Pelican Lake was a good one, yeah.
And then we also went up north a little further. What was that, Osakis or wherever we was?
I don't...
You don't remember that one,
There was a ballroom out there.
Oh,
We played down there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, yeah.
So we played, and then for, anniversaries and weddings and stuff like that, they had more. Now, today's it's more DJ stuff.
Exactly.
So,
oh, gosh. Delwyn Ballroom.
Oh, you did? At the Delwyn, too, in St.
Yes.
Joe?
Yeah. Yes.
That was a nice ballroom, a big ballroom. It's just so sad that those ballrooms are going away.
Right.
And it's all houses over there now. And I know they make more money on the developments, but, gosh, we could sure use good ballrooms in the area yet. Talking to you, Brenda, so back in your younger years there, did you go to a lot of dances? Did you go out in your going out years when you weren't playing? Did you go to see other bands?
Well, I remember growing up, Mom and Dad went out dancing a lot.
You
to
did.
A lot of the polka dances. So that was, kind of got us interested too and being exposed to it. And
to me, that was really fun back in those years. I mean, you just...
Kind of a family time to...
When we tell our kids that we went out to a 9-to-1 dance job, they look at you like, how could you get up the next morning? Because most of the time they're home in bed by 10 o'clock or something on Sunday nights. They just can't function if they have to stay out that late. And we did it. I mean, we'd first get ready for a 9 o'clock dance job, either playing or going out to dance. And then you'd dance up till 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
then probably stop
and
have a hamburger or something yet before you got home. Still get up the next day and be on time to work, huh?
Yeah, that's just the way it was. It's just what we did, and
it was a great lifestyle.
Yes, it really was.
You do whatever you have to do, and that
And a lot of people met their significant others in that manner. I know I met my wife. We were just both out of high school, met at the Granite City Coliseum, and the Deutschmeisters were playing. And so, yeah. Sure. The rest is history there.
Yes. Yeah,
because I remember growing up, like in our area, we had a lot of this New Ulm bands playing out here.
Right.
Six Fat Dutchmen, and we had
Fez Fritchie.
Ivan Kale, Elmer Scheid. A lot of these bands played out here, like Falls Bottom. They even played in Elmdale.
Yes, yeah.
And it was just amazing. You know, we'd get these big bands to come out here.
You bet.
And they could afford it, and they must have. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And well, the bands didn't get paid as much in those days, and things were just a lot, I don't know. And you know, it's simple math. I mean, if you get a good crowd of 500-600 people, and even though they were only paying 25 cents or 50 cents with a shower dance or a wedding dance ticket, but they would earn some money to pay towards the band. And then, of course, they sold a lot of drinks, and they made money at the ballrooms. And the bands, you know, got paid. Of course, gas and everything was less in those days. So everything worked out, it seemed like, back in those years.
Because we had our shower dance in Falls Ballroom.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And we had the Six Fat Dutchmen playing. And that was on a Friday, because that's when they always had
shower
dances. I don't know. Yeah, the dances were not too much on Saturday, because you were supposed to go to church. And so it was Friday, and weddings were most of the time were Tuesdays.
Yeah. I know my dad and mom got married on a Tuesday.
Yeah. So that was a kind of a routine that they followed them years back. So,
yeah. In general, good times. Yeah. So then along the way, you did a recording, the Honeybees Polka Band, and I've got a copy of it here right now, and it says featuring old time and country music. What propelled you to do a recording?
I don't know. I suppose it probably was me a little bit too.
Was
there,
it too?
You know?
Okay.
Because then we went over to Jerry Menard's studio down there.
That's, oh, you did, JBM.
That's where we recorded it, yes.
Okay.
And we made that in I think later 80s.
80s, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it turned out nice, and we probably should have made another one, but the way things happened then, and so that's the way it stayed then.
You bet. And the one thing that was true, a lot of bands have told me that when you were trying to book dance jobs, a lot of the owners would say, okay, the Honeybees, what do you sound like? So if you had a recording that you could give them, then they knew what you sounded like, and it was a lot easier to get hired then, right?
Yeah.
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 So probably what happened back in those years. You think about it, 1980, that's 45 years ago. Isn't that something? How time has gone by.
That's a long time.
Oh, you bet. You bet. And back then, I'm sure too, Brenda, you probably remember, when you recorded, you played a song from start to finish. There was no stopping in between. They didn't have what they have nowadays with the computers, where you can stop, cut, and patch in a piece. And, you know, so
sure.
I remember recording in those years, too, with the Deutschmeisters. And if somebody made a boo-boo, everybody look at them like, why did you make a boo-boo?
But then you do it over again.
Do it over. That's right. And sure. Everybody was pretty well practiced up, so I mean, one or two takes and you'd have it recorded, and then you'd go on to the next song.
Yeah.
So, but that was pretty exciting that you guys did a recording, and it's a good recording. You've got 14 songs on there, waltzes, polkas, a couple of country tunes on there, Waltz Across Texas. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a fun recording, and we'll hear some of that music coming up in just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, because we kind of people like this country music, you know,
right.
Like Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson, you know. So then, the kids learned a lot, you know. They could have played country all night if they wanted to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was true of a lot of bands. People, as we got into the 80s and 90s, things were changing over, and kids would ask for variety music. They didn't want just all waltzes and polkas. They did like to dance, but they liked the country, the two-steps, rock and roll, 50s, anything like that.
Yep.
And so the bands that adapted to that style seemed to be more successful. So, and that was you guys too. Wonderful.
Yep, that's what we did. So,
well, good. Well, if I can ask you guys to hold that thought for just a moment. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. Then I'll come back to you, if that's all right.
Okay.
All righty. So the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages. The broad of the week this week is another very popular broad. It's our smoked tater tot hot dish brats. Yes, we literally add all of the ingredients that you would when making a pan of tater tot hot dish into a brat formula, mix it all up, stuff it and smoke it, and you have one of the most flavorful brats ever created. Stock up with plenty for when friends and family drop by. As always, you can take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long, unlimited quantities. This weekend, on Friday and Saturday, cooking and serving out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market will be the St. Joe Lady Lions. They really do a great job and deserve our support. And we are just a little over a week away from the 4th of July. Always a great time of the year to fire up your grill and make some delicious brats, burgers, hot dogs for when friends and family drop by. You can be proud to serve them when you get your supplies from the St. Joe Meat Market. The St. Joe Meat Market, open daily Monday through Friday, 6 to 6, and Saturdays, 6 until 5, closed on Sunday. As always, for more in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look us up on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or you can always call 320-363-4913, and that's the St. Joe Meat Market. And guys, for being our guest on the program, and you've been here once before, you know how it works. We've got a nice meat package. I actually have it along here today, put up at the St. Joe Meat Market, and along with Chasm, we'll hand it off to you guys and hope that you enjoy it in good health with family and friends. So how's that worked out?
Sounds great.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah,
you
thanks.
Bet.
Yes.
You are very welcome. You bet. So as we talk about playing with the honeybees and some of the dance jobs, did you ever run into any snowstorms? You played all year round, right?
Yeah.
Did you have any encounters with snowstorms or have to cancel out or anything that you remember?
Not that I remember. I do remember a lot of times it was snowing, you know, and we come. A lot of times we got there, was hardly known, and we got out, there was 4 or 5 inches of snow, you know. And
I'll bet you had to arrange that farm schedule with milking cows and stuff so that you were done and ready to go for a 9-1 dance job too back in the days, huh?
Yeah. And how I came up with the honeybees was, you know, I had honeybees all my life.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I was a kid, and there was a guy in Bolas that had bees, you know, and I said, I want a box of bees. So like my brother, well, he couldn't go by the bees because if they bit him, he would be
He'd swell up.
Yeah. Oh. But me, it didn't bother me too much. So we had them all my life, and I said, no, towards the end, well, then I just quit because, you know, it's a lot of work.
Sure.
With, you know, extracting the honey and packing it and everything else. So.
Okay.
So then I said, well, why don't we call ourselves the honeybees? We got honeybees, so that's where that came in.
And I don't think there's another band around that's close to that name that I've ever heard of.
No.
And there's a lot of bands. So, I mean, a lot of the bands use their name, you know, like your name would have been Martin Kuklak.
Yeah.
So, but the honeybees, you know, that's kind of a unique name. So very nice. You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. Well, Brenda, polkas, waltzes, did you have a favorite?
A lot of mine were the Hooleray tunes, the polkas, the Rainbow Valley polka, the Redhead polka. I love those.
Oh, those are good numbers, you bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of the recordings there. And was there a band that you kind of idolized or looked up to or thought, boy, we'd like to play like them? Was there any of the bands that you listened to? Either recordings or live?
Oh, gosh, there were so many.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, specifically one, there isn't really one specifically that comes to mind.
Okay.
Did you play?
We loved the German-style music a lot, so just being exposed to a lot of those bands that play that style of music was a big influence on me.
Well, I know in my experience there, when my wife and I were going out and I didn't have to play, we really liked the Jolly Lumberjacks. We really enjoyed their music. They had such a snappy beat, and they'd come to Richmond, Pelican Lake, and so we seen them there. We also enjoyed Fez Fritzy. Some of those bands were full of antics. Did you guys do much acting or anything at all, or did you just kind of sit in one place and play your instruments, or how did it work for you?
Well, you dress up, put a cowboy hat on when you play country music.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And put cowboy boots on and whatever.
Costume to play the part? Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember sitting in with Bobby Roberts' band, Bobby Lauer from St. Martin. He always had a box of like masks. He'd put on these, like a Scrooge or something mask, you know. While they're playing, all of a sudden he'd turn around and he'd put a mask on and the people just roar. They just get such a kick out of that. So a lot of times there was more than just the music to being a band. You had a little showmanship in you too, huh?
Being an entertainer.
Yeah. Entertainer, there you go. Yep. You bet. Well put. You bet.
So like Brenda, well, she played with a lot of bands too, you know.
Okay.
She had a little different ideas, you know, she got from different bands.
Okay.
Stuff.
Oh, you did sit in with other bands, huh? Who were some of the bands that you sat in with?
Kind of after the, you know, after the, like the early 90s.
Okay.
You know, there just wasn't as many jobs anymore.
Sure.
So I still wanted to play and keep my, you know, keep the old-time music going. So I just kind of checked around with other bands if they were looking for a drummer. And, connected with quite a few of them. I played with the Walseteers, the Gertz family there, and, Jolly Fishermen. Oh, I hate mentioning them because I want to end up leaving somebody out. And then
Cletus
played with
Goldblish. Elmer Scheid.
And Irwin Cease.
Those are some big names.
Alexandria at the time, the VFW there. So filled in with a number of different bands. And then played with Laverne and the Starlight Girls.
You were part of the girls, huh?
A drummer there for, I think, roughly about 10 years.
Maybe
about 2000 to 2010, right in that time frame. So that was a lot of fun.
We had Laverne on here recently, and she talked about the girls band, and you guys were really going hot and good back in those years. I know she mentioned your name, and I'm trying to think, was it Jeannie Warzeka was the concertina player? So, but then she said George passed away, her husband, and he was kind of the one that would drag all that heavy equipment in.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's probably the one thing that you didn't miss with the band business, huh?
Oh, right. Yeah, that was all part of it.
It was, yeah. And, you know, back in those years, that equipment was so heavy. Those speakers were so big. Yeah. Nowadays, you see them set up. I mean, they've got a little tiny speaker and computer or whatever. If it's a DJ, they can carry it in one hand. So it's amazing how technology has changed.
I know our bass speaker, that weighed 100
pounds, I think. It took two of
us. I think.
Two of us girls to carry them, one on each side.
But that's for sure what
we had to do. So.
Did you have a band trailer or a station wagon, or what did you travel
with?
We
used Suburban.
You had a Suburban, okay.
Yeah, we loaded that, yep.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Okay. If you had it to do all over again, do it again?
Oh, yes.
It was fun,
yes.
Huh?
Yes, it was.
All right.
It was a good time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're coming up on 10 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Our time's running down. I usually ask everybody about this time of the program if there's a memory that they'd care to share with the listeners, good, bad, or otherwise. And I've mentioned, you know, that sometimes bands got stuck in a snowstorm or maybe had tires stole off the trailer or had a flat tire on the way to the job. Maybe they played for the president's inauguration, like in the case of the Ivan Cale Band, or anything like that. What comes to mind for you guys? I'll let you go first, Barton.
Well, I think that the more famous one that people remember is we played at the Delwyn Ballroom.
Okay.
The evening that Jacob Wetterling was abducted.
Oh, my goodness. You were
there. And that wasn't that far from where he was abducted.
That's right.
And then we were talking about that. The wife said, well, we have to watch the kids now because, you know, you just never know who's
in
in the woods there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I don't remember if that wasn't, we played here, if it wasn't for Chasm.
It could be, yeah. I think that was the Chasm Polka Fest that night.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't with Chasm yet at that time.
Yeah.
But Kevin Pierskala was still working here, and he was a big promoter and would have a Polka Fest every year. And I think that was at the Delwyn that year.
Yeah.
I think I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one memorable event that I thought was kind of, you know, special.
Yeah. It just happened to be that you were playing that night. No connection. You don't know if the guy was in the dance at one time or nothing. Never did find anything out about that.
No.
Yeah. How about you, Brenda? What comes to mind for you for a special memory?
Oh, times that we used to play and My sister would be singing a song, and she would sing the wrong words or forget the words and make up something. And, oh, gosh, we'd all get the giggles.
Oh.
And it would just be so funny.
Oh.
And it would get to the point we just have to stop.
Oh.
We have to stop the song.
And start over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
but maybe
such.
Nobody would have ever noticed
but that's
it.
That's the thing. Probably you know, nobody in the audience had right. any idea that you know. That happened. But we had to stop and move on to another song.
Oh, there you go. Well, very good. Where do you make home these days, Brenda?
Annandale.
Annandale. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you still active? Are you still playing? Does anybody call?
You
or?
Know, I'm not.
You're not.
I've been out of it probably, maybe close to 15 years.
Okay. Okay.
Or so, but I've recently retired and
still got your drums?
I actually do.
Oh, okay.
And possibly dabbling back into it might kind of sounds like something fun to fill up my time.
Sure.
And keep my mind. My mind sharp.
There you go.
Match those notes with fingers and get back into it.
You bet. And Martin?
She dabbles a little bit with the concertina, too.
Oh,
so,
she does?
Yeah.
Okay, good for you.
So she's
good
trying
fun.
All the instruments out, so that's fine, you know.
Did you ever try the concertina or any of the instruments?
No, I never really. It takes time consuming, and for me, I just
didn't do it.
Didn't do it, yeah. So.
And Christine, I bet she misses playing, too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as a guy gets older, then, you know, things don't work as good as they were at one time.
It was good in its time. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, with that, we are going to let you guys go. Want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us here on our Musicians Come and Play. And I tell everybody, and like I told you in the past, Martin, if the good Lord is willing, you're here, I'm here, we'll do it again sometime. How's that?
That sounds great. Yeah, just keep the music going, I guess.
That's really
good.
We don't
want it to stop, yes.
Well, good. Well, we appreciate you coming in and wish you a good day. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
all righty. And there they go. Martin and Brenda Kukluk Bonin. Is that correct? Okay. Our 557th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by the Honeybees in just a moment. Thank you. Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme wrapping up right there. Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up our 557th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. As promised, we're going to feature music of the Honeybees. Start out with one called the Ellen Polka. The Honeybees Orchestra, one called the Ellen Polka. We're at 18 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, 87 our current temperature here in Albany. It's Hoolerai time, and Brenda said she liked the Hoolerai music. It's one called Auntie's Waltz. The Honeybees Orchestra, Hoolery time there with one called Auntie's Waltz. We're at 22 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading of 87 degrees here in central Minnesota. We're going to put the band to work. It's a vocal number, one called Polish Boyfriend Polka, The Honeybees. And that is the Honeybees Orchestra. Yes, indeed, from back in the days. And that one called the Polish Boyfriend Polka. 25 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, and we have a temperature reading of 87 degrees here in central Minnesota. Here's the Honeybees with an old Elmer Scheid tune, one called the Sweet Violets Waltz. Thank you. The Honeybees Orchestra, one called the Sweet Violets Waltz. Some good stuff for you there. Well, we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that's always brought to us by Jeannie Bees Tours out of Freeport and now St. Joe. Jeannie texting in saying, hello, and here's the scoop. Here's a beat the heat idea from Jeannie Bees Tours. Why not hop on an air-conditioned deluxe Trovex motor coach with Jeannie B, experienced guides, and adventure out on any one of the vacations or extended tours. Now is the time to register for the summer and fall getaways that are almost sold out. Call now to grab last-minute spots on several extended flyout tours to various destinations. You can do that by contacting Jeannie B's Tours at 320-345-1581 for tour schedules and details. Seats are still available for the Medora Memories Tour departing September 5th for four fun-filled days and Celebration Mississippi River Cruise Tour that's leaving on September 18th for 6 days. The Explore the Apostle Islands is an awesome getaway. See the hidden gems of Duluth, Bayfield, and Hayward, Wisconsin. The Colors of the Smoky Mountains on October 18th takes you to Nashville, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, and Asheville to the Biltmore Mansion and all the other must-sees of that area. Monday, June 30th, join Jeannie B's for a beverage and treats at the meet and greets at Tutti Frutti and Sox Center, and that's from 8:30 till 10 at the Traveler's Inn restaurant in Alexandria from 1 until 2:30. Invite your traveling friends and family to hear tour details about upcoming Jeannie B's tours, adventures, and more. Remember, seeing is believing, as Jeannie likes to say. And that's all for you from Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport and now St. Joe, Minnesota. Jeannie B's bringing us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. As we come up on 12:30, we have a temperature reading of 87 degrees here in central Minnesota. More music on the way with the Honeybees. It's the Barley Pop Polka. The Honeybees and one called the Barley Pop Polka. 28 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, 87 our current temperature here in Albany. Another Hoolerai tune, it's a polka tune, one called the Redhead Polka. ¶¶ The Honeybees Polka Band, one called the Redhead Polka, taking us to 25 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock in the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. That is always brought to us by Kevin's Countryside, home of those Hustler brand zero-turn lawnmowers located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. And that Hustler, well, yes, I've been telling you for a long time, it is the original zero-turn lawnmower, and it helps eliminate the extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. Kevin always with a nice inventory of brand new Hustlers on hand. And you'll want to give Kevin a call and make an appointment to come out and see him. Yes, Kevin kind of does that one-man band thing out there. He's, well, he repairs them, he sells them, and he puts in the family farm. So he's got no grass growing under his feet. If there's nobody, no business there, he's out in the field working with the crops. And, of course, Kevin does repair work and on all makes and models, and just was out there a couple of weeks ago, and he told me, Si, he said that advertising is working so good, I'm about 2 weeks behind on repair work. So, yeah, he can change your lubricants, belts, and hoses, sharpen your blades, and Kevin also does accept trades, so he'll make you a sweet deal on your present lawnmower. As always, for more information, give Kevin a call. His phone number, 320-363-7459. Now, also exciting news from Kevin's. Well, he also carries that Eagle brand 56-volt lithium battery-powered equipment. So what that means is he has handheld blowers, backpack blowers, chainsaws and pole saws, self-propelled lawnmowers, and more, and they're all powered by that 56-volt lithium battery. To see these or to find out more about them, give Kevin a call. His phone number, 320-363-7459. And you won't be sorry when you make that trip out to Kevin's, because it's a nice drive from St. Joe to Holdingford on County Road 3. He's located on the west side of the road, about 6 miles out, and he's got a nice big yard, a nice pond there with goldfish in it, and you'll just enjoy trying out one of those brand new Hustlers there. He'll let you cut half the lawn. He'll let you cut the whole lawn if you need to. But one time cutting with that lawnmower, I was hooked. You bet. So you do the same. He's got one there with your name on. I keep telling you that. And if you don't believe it, you go out there. He'll show you one and he'll put your name on it. You bet. So that's Kevin's Countryside as he brings us the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Time for just a couple more selections with the Honeybees. What's going to do a nice old-time polka. They mentioned the Rainbow Valley Polka that they really liked, and here it is, the Honeybees with the Rainbow Valley Polka. Thank you. The Honeybees and one called the Rainbow Valley Polka. Nice arrangement there by the Honeybees. Going to have to close things up on our musical treat for Dancing Feet here. Going to do it with a nice standard old-time waltz, one called the Lakeside Waltz. The Honeybees Orchestra, nice standard waltz tune there, one called the Lakeside Waltz, wrapping up our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.